Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then The Craft Life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting. Welcome everyone to episode 13 of The Craft Life. Today is a lucky episode, number 13. I'm actually recording it on a Friday, so technically it's yes. Friday the 13th, right? Well, before we even get started, Friday the 13th is actually a really lucky day, right? Both the day and the number were associated with the great goddess, and therefore a day that's actually good luck and good fortune. 13, traditionally, if you didn't know, was considered a lucky number in France prior to the First World War. It was used in numerical form as a good look and a symbol on postcards and on charms. With that being said, I feel super lucky to be sitting here with the man himself at Lincoln Beard, get to kick it with John Facco himself, the brewmaster and co-founder of this spot and many others. So thanks for hanging out with me this morning. I really appreciate it, man.
Dude, my pleasure. It's a pleasure being on here. Sorry about all the banging in the back, but we're an active brewery, so...
Absolutely.
But hopefully when this garage door goes down right there, we should be good from here on out.
The one thing that I want to say about The Craft Life, man, we're actually sitting in breweries, and today I'm actually blessed that you guys are brewing, and I get to smell the essence of a brew day.
Yeah,
the amazing smell that you guys... If you've been in a brew house during a brew day or been in after, you can smell that amazing aroma, and I'm actually happy to hear all that and smell all that, and that's what makes The Craft Life
real,
so special.
Man.
Yeah, for sure. The noise in the background, everyone understands. This is like, you know, the 13th episode, so
everyone
is really pretty aware of the sound. So can anyone guess who's listening what me and John have in common besides the love of craft beer? We both served in the greatest military in the world.
Yeah.
You were in the Air Force, right?
I was, yes. I was Air Force guy for about 7.5 active. Some active reserve, about 4.5 active duty, about 3 active reserve. Reserve on active duty, I should say.
Mm.
But yeah, man. Yeah, Air Force was an intel guy, did some program management work, little tiny bit of acquisition stuff, but had an interesting career, traveled around, man. Got to meet great people, great veterans like yourself. Well, military then, veterans now.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing community, man. It really is a family. So I'm proud to be part of it.
Absolutely, man. So I guess let's tell your story, man. You were in the Air Force. So you served for a total of 10 years, right?
About 7.5.
About
7.5 in the Air Force. And then I got out and joined the Defense Intelligence Agency. So
essentially,
nice. I literally did the
exact same
job.
Thing. Just got paid a lot
same
more.
Same desk and everything. Got paid a lot more, right? And basically, it was impossible to get fired. Like most government jobs. No, I'm just teasing. But yeah, man. So from Miami, moved all around Miami, from Perrine to Westchester to Perrine, now known as Palmetto Bay, to Westchester, to West Kendall, which oddly enough are the three places I have spots now. That's on purpose, right? And then bounced around, went to FIU, didn't know what I wanted to do with my life, wasn't the best student. And then I saw a woman walking in a blue uniform. None of my family's ever been in the military. So I literally walked up to her, and I'm sure I asked her something like, you know, what uniform is that?
Yeah.
She told me all about the RTC program, and I went over to UM, and within 3-4 weeks, I was in the Air Force, so RTC. So, and went in, spent some time in the deserts of West Texas learning how to do intel work.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Korea, South Korea, spent a little over a year, about a year there. Then I went to Florida, to West Florida, and did some weapons development work out there in Fort Walton at the base over there, the Armament Center. Then popped over to Southcom after that. That's when I'm
Southcom,
reserved.
That's where I'm at right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, man, Southcom.
Yes, sir.
Part of my heart's still there. I love Southcom.
Awesome.
People are great.
Yeah, man.
So Southcom, this time at Homestead Reserve Base, that's a true reservist. And then I was working DIA, and I got bored, and I decided clear my savings and start a brewery with five other folks.
Oh, nice.
And that was Lincoln's Beer.
And that was Lincoln's Beer.
Yeah, some of those partners have been bought out since, and now there's two of us left. Essentially, we opened, myself and Todd Maxwell, we opened Strange Beast, opened Maxwell Brothers.
So that's the second one?
Yep, Strange Beast is the second one. That's out in West Kendall. Mm-hmm. Then we opened probably our second to last one over in Palmetto Bay on 174th Street and US 1 if you're from Miami. That one's called Maxwell Brothers, and that's got it's an homage to Todd's family, which has an amazing history in Millersburg, Ohio, and we can touch on later if we want, but yeah, that's pretty much, and that puts me sitting here right here with you, man, coming full circle with another veteran, so.
Awesome. It's an honor to be here. And another thing that we both were in South Conmore.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a small world, Sam.
I love it, man. So, basically, you probably are the best person to talk about today's topic, which is if anybody's interested in starting a brewery. You know, this podcast is primarily about marketing and branding of anything in the craft beer industry, no matter what lateral distribution, to being a content creator, to actually own your own brewery, being a brewmaster, whatever within the craft beer industry. But if you're interested in starting your own brewery, there's a question of, do you start multiple small locations or do you do one big brewery? And what is the marketing approach to make that a solid decision?
Yeah, that's good. You know, so I wouldn't say I've ever owned a big brewery per se, but I've certainly owned one Lincoln's Beard here for multiple years before we even thought about Strange Beast. And we were dumping all of our attention into here. I got a lot of great friends that own large breweries. Mm-hmm. You know, the folks at Tank, Carlos and Mo and folks at Tank and more.
Shout out to the Tank, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, incredible beer and just great, great people. A true local business. So, you know, and you know, and I have drinks with those guys all the time. We talk about big versus small and all that. You know, we went the multiple location route. It just felt right. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, and anyone in the beer industry will tell you that it's, unless you have a lot of capital to build out a large brewery, to go into large distribution and whatnot, it's hard to make a lot of money. You know, yes, you set yourself up for an eventual sale and an exit strategy, which is fantastic because you have a lot of reach. It's great, mm-hmm. but it's tough. It's tough. You have to deal with distributors and at a large scale, and it just complicates things a bit. But really, the reason we didn't go big. One, we didn't have a tremendous amount of capital. We kind of took bites of it as we went along, but
yeah.
It just kind of felt right. You know, I'm a Miami guy. We loved running tap rooms. We love running bars, which all a tap room is, right? Just serving your own beer. So putting something out in West Kendall just felt like the right move, you know? And it's enjoyable. From a marketing branding perspective, it's tough to give, and this is just from an operational perspective. When you
for
have
sure.
multiple locations, it's tough to give them the attention they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just split, you know, it's like having multiple kids, right? But that being said, it's a bit of a problem because there's different demographics and whatnot, but it's also pretty exciting and interesting.
For sure.
You know, and I feel like anyone listening to this podcast, you know, most of those folks are creatives. And, I like to consider myself creative in some fashion and certainly in mindset. And my biggest challenge, I was just talking to Daniel Filer of Crave, who's a fantastic and accomplished artist down here in Miami, mm-hmm. a good friend of mine. And we were laughing about how, like, everything we do, and this is tongue-in-cheek, of course, but like, everything I do that I love, right after I do it, I hate it. You know? It's like this mentality, you know?
Yeah.
And I've talked to some content creators, some marketers about that, too, and it's funny. It's not that you're not proud of it,
mm-hmm.
but you're like, I don't want to see it. That's done. That's in the past. I created that. I put that to the path of human consciousness, and I'm moving on with my life. Having three locations, although it's a lot more work because you got to feed the babies, but...
For sure.
It provides creatives, and I think it provides marketers that ability to reach out that ability to stretch their legs and do things different at each spot,
For sure.
Which I think is amazing. Because I will tell you, everyone knows that every spot's different, right? Westchester's different from Palmetto Bay, it's different from West Kendall,
mm-hmm.
but wow, it is astronomical. We'll have a beer that will just sit on tap over here. We'll send it to West Kendall, and it'll be gone in a few days.
Wow.
It's just, it's amazing how...
Demographics
disparate,
really...
Miami is.
Yeah.
Miami-Dade County is. It's wild. So that creates a really, really fun time. Really, the one that bears the burden of that is Matty, who those that are in the scene down here probably know Matty. She's Little Matty on Instagram.
Awesome marketer.
The lovely, beautiful wife of Haida Samurai Piggy down here, who's in our brew house, runs brew house here with Danny Steigerwald. But she's the one that has come up with all this new content and stuff like that. She runs her marketing at all three sites. So it's a challenge for her, and her and I talk about that all the time. But, you know, obviously she loves what she does, you know, and we love having her do it. So, that's what I find. From a business standpoint, yes, it is more difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, frankly, it's when you have things like a bar, there's so many moving parts, from refrigerators to wine deliveries to, and those things just go wrong, you know? Yeah. Cold rooms break down and at a level that far exceeds that which I expected.
For sure.
And when you have three of them, you have three times the amount of problems, you know? So, but you also gain a tremendous amount of experience very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Which I think makes you a pretty damn sharp knife, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like brewing, you know, whenever homebrewers come up to me, and Sam here, obviously an NBA guy.
Yeah, for sure.
Sam or Samuel, what do you prefer, by the way?
Sam. It's perfect.
Sam, okay, man. Cool. It's a great name, by the way.
I appreciate it, my man.
But, so Sam here, obviously an NBA guy, knows the brewing world. But homebrewing, you know, I used to be an obsessive homebrewer. I brewed about 5 gallons a week. My friends were very happy.
Because,
honestly, I'm not a huge drinker, although I do love beer. but... I always tell people, the second you start commercially brewing, you're doing it on such a level that you gain experience that, you know, you just can't gain when you're home brewing. And it's really the same thing from an operational perspective with bars.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about the different vibe of every three locations, and what started you to pivot to start the second location. So let's talk about this location first, the name. How did you come up with the concept a little bit?
Yeah, well, I think the best thing to start this conversation off with is, in my mind, and there's a lot of my friends are probably going to hate me when they hear this, but I see all this as art, right? I think
for sure.
Anytime you're creating something, there's a certain art from it.
Absolutely.
And I always think the purest form of art to me is music. And that's not self-serving, because I'm a terrible musician, right? I can't sing, as my wife will attest to. And I've been playing the guitar for like 20 years, and I'm terrible.
Hey,
but that's fine. Yeah, perfect practice makes perfect. But yeah, not bad practice. So I always look at creating in the same way that I think a musician would make an album, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Sam's not going to make the same, Sam the musician's not going to make the same album when he's 27 or when he's 32 that he's going to make when he's 40. You know, he's just in a different place in his
different
life.
Different journey, yeah, man.
He's in a different journey, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, so people that have consistency at each spot, I think that's amazing. That's literally something I just can't do. So when we opened Lincoln's Beard, the mistake I made when I was opening Lincoln's Beard, and we were incredibly successful from the beginning, thanks to our amazing supporters here Westchester, but I just kind of looked around. I went to a bunch of breweries, and I just stole different things from other breweries from an aesthetic perspective, and I just put them here. You know, the same cliche lights, the same the same wood walls and all that, which I still think are beautiful, but they definitely didn't represent who I was. And anyone that's been a fan of Lincoln's Beard for more than 3 years has seen this place turn into that, which was still pretty, but certainly not me, to this kind of crazy mismatch, multicolored, which is 100% me. You know, and when the time came to open Strange Beast, I was in my life, I was in a really like kind of screw it all kind of mentality, which is kind of a dangerous place to be, but good for creativity, I guess. And I wanted to create something. I wanted to wedge something into West Kendall that was incredibly rugged. Virtually, I almost have the feel of being unfinished, like opposite of pretension. And that's what we did. You know, we have beat up rough countertops with black, red, which I think are like the hardest colors, you know, black and red. So that's what we did out there. Yeah. You know, that's what we did. And once we're done, and I still love Strange Beast, it is what it is. And I know people are off put by it out there, but it's the opposite of the corporate stuff that's in West Kendall. And I thought that felt nice.
So when you were here, what made you have that idea, the epiphany moment to say, I want to do a second location and double my work?
Yeah. So Open Kimono here, we were having some partner issues, which happens anytime you
happens
have more
to
than
every
zero
business,
partners,
of course,
right? So we're having some partner issues, and it was just a real unhealthy environment for everyone involved. You know, and it would be easy to say that it was their fault and not mine, but that's not how life works. Frankly, we were just kind of incompatible. You know, they're good people, all of them. You know, we were just kind of incompatible. It wasn't working out. Frankly, we wanted to take the business in different directions. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be best if I left.
Gotcha.
So I resigned as a managing partner, and one of the other partners here, Todd, him and I moved, said, hey, we're just going to kind of get away from the brand. We maintained a minority partnership. And we are sorry, minority ownership. And we moved on and we did Strange Beasts. We were completely silent partners.
Okay.
And that was kind of it. And which kind of explains why I was at a crazy time in my life.
yeah, for sure.
So it all goes full circle. But very long story short. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, these partners who all had full time jobs reached back to us and were like, hey guys, you know, just come buy us out. You know, so we negotiated, got to a point where we reached a number that made sense, and we came and bought them out. And that's where we kind of inherited Lincoln's Beard back. Mm-hmm. Which kind of brings us to the next step, which is we were already working on our second location. Because Strange Beast is super, super tiny, right?
Got you.
It's, you know, it's hard to pay your bills and pay everyone for a spot that's that tiny.
Do you guys serve food over there?
We do. Okay. Yeah, it's Brewpub Pizzeria.
Nice.
We've since kind of thanks to COVID, which is a terrible, terrible disease.
Yeah.
But during this COVID era where we were allowed to kind of put some stuff outside, that's really helped us expand and make that concept a little more comfortable to mm-hmm. own and to work in, frankly. And but we already started the planning and the lease negotiations on Maxwell Brothers.
Okay.
And we all of a sudden we swallow up Lincoln's Beard. We had already signed the lease, actually. Swallow up Lincoln's Beard. So now we're like, holy cow, we got our hands full.
It's a good feeling, though.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yeah, and from a creative standpoint at Maxwell Brothers, when we were doing that, you know, I knew that I could do crazy. I knew that I could do rugged and urban over at Strange Beast. But I wanted to do something that wasn't necessarily in my comfort zone. I wanted anyone that walked into Maxwell to go, wow, this is so, the vibe might be the same just because of staff, you know, we have same type of staff, same culture, mm-hmm. but the aesthetic is totally different. Nice. You know, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could do that. Which thankfully we did with the help of, you know, I want to say me, I can do it. You know, so many hands and brains went into that. Certainly not me. I'm just the one sitting here. But but now looking at it, I'm like, I can't stand this. It's a beautiful spot for anyone that's been there. It's also Brewpub and Pizzeria. We haven't started brewing there yet. We will in the next few months. We have to have someone come. We have another tank coming soon.
Nice.
But now I'm going to go there and we're going to funk it up a little bit. I was just meeting my business partner, so we're going to add that funkiness.
Nice.
Yeah.
So your brew team, so you have three different brewers at every location, or your brew team kind of travels?
So we moved the brewing equipment out of Strange Beast a while back because, frankly, we just didn't have space.
Okay.
Hydar started at Strange Beast with me. That's, you know, he was a home brewer and obviously well-connected to the in the beer community all around the
for
country.
Sure. Yeah, everybody knows that, man.
Yeah, which he still takes advantage of. He sets up so many collabs with people I don't know, which is awesome. You know, he's just so good at it. And he brewed me over there. So when we bought out Lincoln's Beard, the head brewer here resigned to move on to something else. So Danny, and the assistant brewer moved on, Big Dan, moved on to be the head brewer at Unseen, still good friends of ours.
Gotcha.
So Danny Sagwal here, who's a fantastic home brewer and obviously a great commercial brewer, moved up into that head brewer role.
Okay.
Hydar came over here to brew with him. They're behind us here downstairs brewing right now. They're our only brew team, our only two folks.
Oh, nice.
Maxwell's, once Maxwell's gets set up, they'll certainly bring on a cellarman.
Okay.
Probably full time to do a lot of those cellar tasks. Right now, these two gentlemen
just try to get our attention.
Yeah, these two gentlemen bust their butt, and they do everything from cleaning kegs to counting.
Doing everything, man.
Yeah. But yes, we have one brew team doing that.
Oh, awesome, man! Awesome. So to kind of just wrap everything up, you know, what is the benefit of having multiple breweries?
Yeah, I think there's a couple benefits. One, from a purely entrepreneurial standpoint, having a wide range and a wide reach shows value to anyone. You know, someday should I choose to sell this?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, you have profitability, right? In times when it's not COVID, you have the ability to maintain profitability at all these locations and hopefully get some cash flow. Obviously, we've opened these pretty fast, so you know we're not taking dividends or anything. But obviously, we're building value in those companies. So I think that's great. I also, it also feels really, really good to come to Lincoln's Beard, and I'll do it today. Come to Lincoln's Beard, 4 o'clock will come. I'll have a beer with a regular that I've known for 40 years. Who, at that point, they're friends, right?
For sure.
Then I'll probably drive over to Maxwell Brothers and go, you know, as we call it in the biz, kind of touch tables over there, talk to new people, meet new people, you know, and just like we spoke about with the how disparate and how crazy the diversity is in Miami from neighborhood to neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Being able on the same day experience that at all your spots is pretty amazing.
I can imagine.
And I'll be at Strange Beast tomorrow. So
very cool.
I think there's value in that. It's not just, hey, I have tons of locations, look how important I am and I'm making money. It's not even, you know, that's not gonna, you know, go on your gravestone, right?
Yeah.
You know, who's gonna surround your deathbed and that's what matters. So in that context of life, I love, you know, being able to experience different people, different cultures at all these spots.
All right.
Yeah.
So, not to put you out on the spot or anything like that, is there any further plans or any kind of new thing that you could actually talk about right now?
Of course, yeah. No, I'm open book. The only time I ever don't talk about something is when someone says, hey, please don't talk about that.
Gotcha.
You know, after spending 12 years in intelligence, like, the last thing you want to do is withhold information.
For sure.
You know, it's like I did enough of that. We have a lease that we signed. You know, we're working with the folks over at Scout, which is a development, new development company run by an Army Scout.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's a really good guy named Vince, a good friend of mine as well. They're developing the Ludlum Trail right here, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from Lincoln's Beard, which is basically they're paving over 10 kilometers of former railroad. And they're developing a node, if you will, right here on Bird Road, where for anyone that knows the area, right where the post office is. Anyone in this area probably knows the Ludlum Trail, but where there's gonna be some high rises and all that. It's a beautiful, beautiful development. And unlike a lot of other developments, they're focusing on small business, on local art, which I think is amazing.
That's cool, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and the people in the area are honestly really excited for it, which is pretty rare for developments. You know, they've taken their time with that. And, you know, we're going to have the honor of being that first standalone bar in between these, these giants. Yeah. So,
well, congratulations,
thank
man.
Thank you so
Look
much.
You.
Yeah, and that's going to
so
be
so awesome.
Thank you, man. And we're going to go into, as far as the new build goes, that's going to be our first one with full liquor.
Okay.
So we'll have pizza and we'll have full liquor and go into a little bit into the cocktail scene. Again, keep it simple.
Sure.
And whatnot, but go into that cocktail scene a little bit. We'll have our barrel program over there also.
Nice.
Doing some wilds and doing some barrel aged stuff, which I'm really excited about as well.
Awesome.
And that one, the working name for that is The Thorn.
Okay.
I'm a big, you know, my father was a big green thumb. I love plants. I'm not as good as him, but that's fine. So we're going to have a lot of plants and foliage in that one, and really casual and laid back and very bohemian. So that's the night. After that, I think I'm done. Frankly, I was done after Lincoln's Beard, so I don't know. We'll see. But I would love to assuming there's decriminalization and legalization here in the state of Florida, I would love to dabble into the cannabis scene.
Nice.
But that's it. Those are kind of my plans. My kids grow up.
That's awesome, man. Great plans, man. I'm excited for the new spot too, man. I definitely.
Thank you, man.
What's the date on that ETA?
Ooh, so we're again. I mean, they just started building out kind of the foundation over there. So you know how these things go.
For sure.
We should by end of this year. We will probably start our construction. So my guess is probably by mid 2022.
Okay.
Again, these are really rough.
Rough. Yeah.
We should be up and running.
Look at that, man. So we got something to look forward for next year, man. Something big.
Yeah,
all right. If anybody doesn't know, man, Lincoln Beard Brewing is an amazing spot. Real quick, what inspired you with the Lincoln?
With Lincoln, man, I'm a really big fan of Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
One of the most, I would argue probably the best president of all time. Again, I've just been infatuated with him, right, and everything he's done for this country and
for
this country and how he's a man of conviction and how he lost. I mean, there's just so many stories around Abraham Lincoln that are inspiring. I even wanted to name my son Lincoln. My wife wouldn't let me have it, so now his middle name's Lincoln.
I love it.
And that's really what inspired Lincoln. But really, the name Lincoln Spirit comes from another inspiring story about Abraham Lincoln. A little girl named Grace Bettle, 11-year-old, wrote him a letter. And I encourage everyone to look this up and read the letter. long story short, she found a pamphlet that her father went to go run the speeches. She found a pamphlet with his photo on it, or probably a drawing of his face, and he had no beard. It's when he was on the presidential campaign trail. She wrote him a letter basically saying, in her much better than my 40-year-old 2020 English, hey, you should grow a beard because, you know, your chin is a little weak, which it is, was. So if you grow a beard, women who couldn't vote at the time, right, will tell their husbands, hey, you should vote for this guy because he's good looking, right? Yeah. This is great 11-year-old logic. We know Lincoln saw that letter, read the letter, and wrote her a response. We don't know if she ever read the response, but we do know that after he did win, after he grew his beard, as we all know, and did win, he went and visited her and thanked her for her advice and that he took it. And it's even right now, it's giving me chills. The very concept that an 11-year-old girl can change the path of the world. Now we know what Lincoln's done for America, for world history.
For the world, for sure.
For her to change that path, for her to have an influence in that path, I think is exactly what this country's about, and what humanity's about, and it's inspiring to me. And I said, hey, might as well name our brewery that.
That's an inspiring story, man. Thank you so much. Talk about your taproom bar top. What is that made out of?
Yeah, so we have about 15,000 pennies that we glued to our bar top, grouted and covered with a constantly chipping sealer. And I always thought that'd be interesting. And,
that is,
you know, it's really the center point of our bar. People love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, yeah.
It's awesome. In my last episode, I actually quoted something from Lincoln. I had to bring it right back up.
Nice. Sure.
I don't know if he actually said this, so maybe you can help me out, because for me, I quote him. I looked online. Somebody said he said it. So somebody said it to me and said he said it, and I looked online.
Good words are good words.
So I don't know if he said it, but I'm going to go ahead and repeat it. Things may come to those who wait, but only the things that's left by those who hustle. Did he say that?
I don't know if I've ever heard that one. Might have. I mean, he, by all accounts, was a storyteller had so many amazing, you know, so many amazing things to say. So I wouldn't doubt it. He was certainly that guy. I mean, he did not stop.
Yeah, for
sure. He was a grinder.
So, but guess what? I co-sign it, you co-sign it, he said it, right?
Perfect. Stamp it. Can't ask him.
All right, everybody. Lincoln Beer Brewing is located at 736 Southwest 41st Street, Miami, Florida. Their website is LincolnBeardBrewing.com, and you can find them on Untappd, Facebook, and Instagram at Lincoln Beard Brewing. To the Craft Life community, keep supporting local craft beer. Peace and love. We out.
Cheers.